Hello, and you are listening to the Talk and Tonic podcast, episode 22 of season 2. Now, this is a show where we talk and discuss all things tech. So if you're new to the show and you like tech, this is the place for you to come and, well, listen in. I was going to say hello, but you can't say hello to us now. But anyway, you are joining me, Darwin, and Jeevan again on the episode 22 of our season 2 of Tech and Tonic. And last week was quite eventful, which is good, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's quite good.
Considering we had a lot of slow weeks before this, it was a nice change in pace.
Yes, at least things are happening and moving along. Like Samsung, they actually launched a new, I want to call it a TV, but it's not a TV, it's a gaming monitor. They call it the Odyssey G9 Neo. Basically the same recipe. They took the same recipe of the Samsung Odyssey G9 that they had before, which was already considered at one point the ultimate gaming monitor, right, when it was launched. And they took it to the next level with not just mini LED, you know, they just made it so much more.
They just turned it up to a 20.
Yeah, so we start with the price. The price is actually very expensive. Okay, it starts at $2,499. And I say start at because we're not even sure whether retailers will actually sell it at that price or not. This is coming from Samsung, okay? And if it comes to Malaysia, okay, if with that conversion, it's going to be 10,000 ringgit to 11,000 ringgit. That's...
ouch.
For a gaming monitor.
Yeah, and not to mention that it's the cost of one of their Neo LED TVs as well.
Yeah, so it's a 49-inch monitor, but instead of like the normal, usual, diagonal, like a TV layout that you get, right? This is a 32:9 aspect ratio display. So it's an ultra-wide display, like the older G9, okay, with mini LED, with dual quad HD resolution. That's 5,120 by 1440 pixels. It's just crazy, lah. It's just crazy. And here's the thing that I don't really get, because you're sitting right in front of it, okay? You're sitting about 1 meter in front of it because it's a 1000R curved screen, so it's like a radius of 1 meter. If you wrap it around you, okay? It's got HDR 2000, okay, with 12-bit color. 12-bit color, not 10-bit color, okay? With 1 million to 1 contrast ratio, okay? 1 million, not 1,000 or 2,000, right? And it can go up to 2,000 nits. That's a TV. That's not really a gaming monitor anymore.
That's a bit overkill.
For a gaming monitor that you're going to sit one meter away from.
Yeah.
And if you're using it for gaming, you're most likely going to sit in a dark room. 2,000 nits is just going to blind you. It's very, very bright. So, just to put it as a comparison, okay, the Huawei MateView monitor that we just reviewed last week goes up to 500 nits. And I already complained that at 500 nits, it's too bright.
This is four times that.
This is four times that. I use it at 80% brightness, which is about 400 nits, okay? So that's five times brighter than I'm using my monitor at. It's nonsense. It's just
even
nonsense.
Even our Prism monitor, I'm using it at only 60% brightness.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. Okay, it's just really nonsense. But I actually really want one.
Samsung's bringing new meaning to blowing your socks off.
Yeah, so it's like buying a new TV. But if, you know, you can choose between a TV or this one, I think you should buy a TV instead. You're getting 4K, you know, and probably up to 120Hz at that kind of money now, from Sony or even Samsung.
Yep.
Sony, speaking of Sony, right, Sony actually launched a new camera, like a new small form factor compact camera. that is slightly bigger than the ZV-1. Do you remember the ZV-1? That little tiny vlogger camera? Yeah. Yeah. So this is a just a step up of that, but it's not a 1-inch sensor. This is a APS-C sensor. It's not 35mm. It's APS-C crop factor sensor that is actually smaller than full frame, but bigger than the ZV-1. And they're targeting vloggers also for this. The good thing about it is that, you know, it's 24.2 megapixels, and you can change the lens. Like, it's interchangeable. You can use E-mount lenses. Nice. Like, you can use full frame lenses, or you can just get the lenses that are actually made for, you know, crop factor sensors. Like, well, basically the Alpha 6600, the 6400s. And it's not very expensive, you know. It's starting from 2,599 ringgit. And this is for the body only. And if you want to get a kit lens, which is a 16 to 50mm lens, it's 3,099 ringgit. So it's actually very cheap for new content creators.
Like, yeah, if you're looking for something affordable to start with, I think mm-hmm. this is a good starting off point.
And it records at 4K, so... it's nice. Yeah. It's actually really nice.
And not to mention, you can use the lenses if you upgrade to a bit better Sony one later on.
Exactly. Well, lenses are not cheap, okay? But at the same time, if you want to start out with something, I think this is a very, very good start out camera. Like, even for photography, it's got 24.2 megapixels to start with and can record 4K. Wow.
Yeah.
Canon's EOS M50, I think, doesn't really shoot at 4K, or not as well. Not sure.
Yeah, and it's quite a compact camera, so you're not going to be lugging around a big ass camera
it's
everywhere.
Super compact. It's not that much bigger than the ZV-1, right?
Yeah.
And together with the kit lens, it's actually lighter than the body one of the lenses that Sony has. I think the 24-70 is way lighter than that, like, or as light as that lens. Or as heavy as that lens, depending on how you look at it. So it's very compact. Very nice. Toshiba is now in TV. Just now we were talking about TV, right? Toshiba is back in Malaysia.
With for TVs.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you about this when I was writing up the article as well.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time that you see Toshiba in the market, especially in Malaysia, right? You've always seen these Toshiba TVs that are actually quite cheap when they were in the market. And then you don't really see them for a while until now with their new Regza engine. Is that right?
Yeah. So yeah, instead of calling their TVs Regza, it's now specifically to their, I would say, processor technology.
Yeah.
From what I can understand.
Yeah, like, you know what? The Bravia and the Bravia R, the Bravia X and the XR is to Sony's TVs, right? So this is the new Regza engine TVs with Regza engine. And it starts out from pretty small, actually. You can get a 720p TV. I don't know why you would get that, but you can if you really, really want for a budget. You know, if you're on a very, very tight budget, you can get it. But the 4K TV starts at 43-inch and goes all the way up to 75-inch. Starts at 3,000... No, wait, no, that's not...
It starts at 1,899 ringgit.
Yeah, and the 75-inch starts at... Well, tops out at 6,599 ringgit.
Yeah.
Actually, it is very cheap for a TV, like, considering, right? It's a smart TV... You know,
and it's also launching with Android R on some models. And considering that one or two models already have Android R, I'm guessing those on Android P will be updated as well.
Yeah, so pretty budget choice for a TV if you really want. I mean, Google TV is a new standard, but, you know, the Android TV is still not that bad. It's still okay to work with. I mean, we both own Android TVs at home, at least. At least for me, I have an Android TV at home. Jeevan at home has a LG TV, but in our office, we actually use an Android TV. So, it's not bad.
Makes life a lot easier with Android TV.
Yeah. Oppo launched the new charging technology last week. Well, yeah. They announced a few weeks back that they are experimenting with 125-watt charging. But last week, they were talking about a new charging technology that could, you know, help save some battery life or its lifespan, extend its lifespan a little bit.
Yep.
Something like that. We won't go into details too much. You know.
Supposedly, it's 3 times the battery lifespan, but with charging speeds which are about 20% higher.
Yeah. So we won't go too much into detail into that at this point, because at this point, there's no Oppo smartphone that comes with the technology just yet. But we will definitely go into that later on, and charging technologies in general, because everyone wants a faster charger now. And Xiaomi just introduced, well, they showcased the 200-watt charging technology, which is, again, to me, crazy. Nonsense. But everybody wants one, right?
Lenovo, just heard my battery cry.
Yeah. Lenovo launched a new ThinkStation. This is a workstation, basically a workstation tower. The P350 ThinkStation that will be launching in September 2021. Now, this is a new workstation for industrial kind of use. Not really in industrial environments, but kind of
offices,
professional official office environments. Probably you can use it for some creative work and stuff like that, because it comes with the 11th generation Intel Core or the latest generation Xeon processors, which are very powerful, right? Xeon is basically like the server type processor, ultra power industrial type processor, and you can get it with a Nvidia a GeForce RTX 3060 or Quadro A5000, right? Am I right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
And it starts at $4,999. So you straight away know that that kind of price is not really an entry-level PC kind of price. It's not really consumer type of pricing if you want to start out with. Anyway. In the news of PC, right? Asus last week launched the Expert Book series. Well, they didn't launch the Aspergood series. They just refreshed the lineup with new B1, B5, and B9
models.
Devices? Models? Yep. Yeah, you can say. And it starts out from about 3,600 ringgit, somewhere there. That's the B1, okay? And it tops out at the B9, which is about 7,000, 8,000 ringgit, somewhere there?
Around there.
And they all come with Intel's 11th generation core processors. Not Xeon, okay? These are laptops, by the way. So most of them comes with a Core i5 to i7 processor. I don't see an i9 in the range. And a lot of them, all of these don't really come with a GPU, which is, I don't know. I actually wish the B9 does come with, you know, a discrete GPU, but because of its size, it's quite impossible, right?
But
it's,
it does come with Intel Xe graphics.
Yeah, the Iris Xe graphics. And because of that, they can make it super thin. The B9 is like 14.9 millimeters, I think. Just very thin.
Around that.
And it's, well, the one that comes from Malaysia anyway, is about 1 kilogram. Just slightly above 1 kilogram. Very, very light. And supposed to last all day. What? Yeah. Supposedly.
Yeah.
But until we review it, we don't know, right? We'll see. AMD last week also launched something. And to me, it's kind of weird, okay? Because I don't know. They launched the AMD Radeon 6600 XT GPU. And they don't have a reference card for it.
I don't know. It feels like they needed something at the bottom end, so they were like, here.
Yeah, but this is actually more expensive than the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3060.
That's the thing. It doesn't make sense to me.
So they say that this is made for full HD gaming, right? And in our article, we said smooth and whatnot. And basically, AMD's aiming for that smooth 1080p full HD gaming experience at probably up to 120Hz, depending on the games that you play. But at the same time, it's comparing to an RTX 3060, this is a card that starts at about US dollars. In US dollars, it's about 300 and... Hold on, I wrote it somewhere here. Where is it? 379 US dollars. In Ringgit Malaysia, that's 1,600 Ringgit, somewhere there and above. And this is considering that this is a starting price. That means you don't know what bot partners will charge you, and they don't have a reference card.
That would mean that prices would be around 2K to 2.4.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
It's really not cheap.
The RTX 3060, I think, starts at 349 US dollars. That's also about 1,005, but they do have a reference card, so you can buy a 3060 for 349.
Yeah, and but at the same time, I'm asking myself, why? They have been super strong with their releases, and then this.
Yeah, I think at this time, to anyone who wants to build a PC, okay, at least at this time, like the current time of, you know, PC building, no, just don't do it.
I'm supposed to build a new PC and I put it off because it's costing way too much.
Yeah, and the prices of these parts is not going down anytime soon because there's shortages in the market. You can't find any of these parts. Like, they say that this card will launch in August. To be fair, if you want one of these cards, okay, like the 6600 XT, this RX 6600 XT, you're probably going to have to wait until, in Malaysia at least, until November or December to start seeing something that you can actually buy at the price, at a reasonable price.
That is also taking into consideration that if we actually see it. Because a few of the models have not gotten to Malaysia just yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they say it is, but you don't see stocks. They can't stock it. You can't find
it.
Anyway, Huawei also launched something last week, like super quietly. They launched the Huawei P50 and the P50 Pro, which we said they would, okay, but they did very, very, very quietly. Like,
very quietly, and I think I know why.
It's only available in China right now, so that's why. That's the biggest reason. Yeah.
It doesn't come with Huawei's Kirin processors.
No, it does. Okay, so the Huawei P50 Pro comes with the high silicon Kirin 9000, which is an older processor, but it's still kind of expected.
Yeah.
The strange thing is that that's the only one that comes with Huawei Kirin 9000. The rest of it, like even a P50 Pro at a lesser model, right, comes with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 888. And it's not even a 5G processor, it's a 4G processor.
Yeah, and that doesn't really make sense for Huawei of all people.
Why?
No, but we know why. It's because Qualcomm cannot provide 5G technology to Huawei.
No, I understand that, but why go to Qualcomm? You know?
Like, yeah.
What's the sudden, you know, jump to Qualcomm? And even saying that Qualcomm cannot sell 5G technology to Huawei, right? It's also, they are also restricted in selling a certain amount of chips to Huawei.
Which makes me wonder why they didn't go to MediaTek.
Yeah, me too. But I don't know. It's just really weird. It's
a good looking phone. It's a good looking phone.
I think that's quite subjective. I think that's quite subjective because the two bulges behind is just weird.
It's a lot.
It looks like you know those old type of Harry Potter glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. So it looks like that, right?
But it's at the same time subjective. It's not a bad looking phone. At the same time, I'm like wondering, okay, you guys shifted away from Qualcomm and now you're going back to Qualcomm.
Yeah, it's just odd. And we thought that they're taking time to perfect the phone and to get new technologies on this phone, right? but not really.
It doesn't feel like it.
888 is a platform that existed since the early of the year. And Huawei Kirin 9000 is not new. It's also been there since, what, last year?
Yeah, and on top of that, like, even if you go with the Qualcomm Snapdragon 888, you could have put in your own 5G technology into it as a separate function.
You technically could.
They didn't.
But the modem module is integrated to the chips these days, so that's probably why they didn't do a 5G technology, or they didn't include the 5G modem. Also, at the same time, I don't know, it's... Even the camera is nothing new. Because when Richard was teasing, we're going to have a new technology on it, right? Then you came out and says, 50 megapixels main camera. Isn't that the same one that you did last year?
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I didn't see any Leica co-branding this year.
There is a Leica co-branding still. But it's not a 1-inch sensor that we expected to see from the Sharp camera in Japan.
It's very interesting though.
Yeah, so I don't know.
We will see when it comes here.
Yeah, the prices are quite cheap. Or if it comes here. Because I've actually checked with the PR site and they don't even know about the launch. Which says a lot, okay? Honestly, we didn't get the press release. We didn't get the press release for it. And when I was talking to the PR site, they don't have the press release for us for the global launch anyway, which also means that it's not a global launch. It's
a China launch.
It's a China launch, basically. Yes, it's a local launch. Prices start from... In Chinese yuan, it starts from... Let me see. I've written down here. So in Chinese yuan, it starts at 4,488 renminbi. Not renminbi, Chinese yuan. Okay, I wrote it in that. 4,488. This is for the Qualcomm Snapdragon 888 4G plus, plus 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage.
So that's about 2,300 ringgit. 2,300, 2,400 ringgit.
In today's exchange rate, that's about 3,000 ringgit, somewhere there. Actually, 2,900. And if you go for the top of the range, apparently this is the Kirin 9000 variant, which definitely comes with 5G now, okay, and 12 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs of storage. That's about 7,988 Chinese yuan. That is 5,200 ringgit in Malaysia.
Ouch.
Yeah, but apparently in the global side, you don't see this spec at all. You don't see 12 gigs of RAM and 512 of storage. In the global side, it tops out at a Snapdragon 888 4G and 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. This is weird. Huawei is weird. I don't know.
I cannot brain.
Yeah, I don't understand it too. But we will just see. Maybe it'll come in September or something like that. I'm not sure. Currently, it's already out for pre-order. Okay, and it will start shipping in China itself in August. Like, I think 8th of August, if I'm not wrong. Start selling in China. I think somewhere there.
Yeah.
Now, there's another thing that happened last week. I mean, we've spoken quite long on the news site already, so we'll try to make it short or so. But Scarlett Johansson, this is not something that we usually talk about, okay?
Yeah.
She's suing Disney.
Yeah, she is suing Disney, and the only reason we're talking about it is because of the way Disney has released the
Black Widow
movie. Because yes, in the US, it was released both in theaters and on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Everywhere I else, nowhere.
You can't see it everywhere else. Like, I don't think we get it on Disney Plus just yet either.
No, no, we haven't got it on Disney Plus. But we don't have it in cinemas because cinemas are closed. Our theaters are closed.
And because of that, apparently Scarlett Johansson is not earning a significant amount of money.
Yeah. So, from what we could understand, right, the initial contract for Black Widow was written up before COVID. Well, basically the current pandemic situation lah. They promised a certain percentage of the ticket sales for ScarJo, basically, right? And because of the COVID situation, they can't do a full global, you know, theater release, the blockbuster release. So they had to stream it on Disney Plus. Well, Disney Plus Premiere, right?
Yeah.
And what happened is that ScarJo is not earning as much as she should, because her earnings only come from, you know, ticket sales.
From blockbuster release, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever that Disney is earning on Disney Plus doesn't go to ScarJo, and that's why there's a lawsuit happening.
Yeah, but it also brings a really new dimension to what streaming has impacted. Initially, we were like, oh, we would still go to theaters for the whole theater experience. But then when it comes to situations like these, like we're physically not allowed to go out.
Yeah,
or at least discouraged from it.
At the same time, would you want to be stuck in a movie theater?
Not at this point. Not at this point. Not especially with our cases in Malaysia. Not at this point.
Yeah. But
we had never saw this coming. Like, we never saw this impact of, actors are earning less because of streaming.
That is true. And this is also very reminiscent of the problem that we had when Spotify came out, remember?
And yeah, it is.
You know what Taylor Swift came out? Well, Taylor Swift basically backed out of Spotify at one point. So Spotify missed Taylor for a while, Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
And that's also because she says that Spotify is making it very difficult, or, you know, reducing the amount of money that, you know, music makers or musicians make from their music.
Yeah, and it's not because of Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Spotify is another layer of a middle person.
Yeah.
Whereas in this case, for Disney Plus at least, it's not a middle person. This is Disney, basically. You pay $15 to see the movie on Disney Plus on top of your subscription.
Yeah.
And then they are basically pocketing the whole $15 from what we can understand.
And that's why it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. But at the same time, I'm like, wouldn't they have done a discussion about this beforehand?
No, they didn't. That's why the lawsuit happened. They never actually discussed this with ScarJo. Like, they've never came to an agreement with ScarJo, and they went ahead and did the release anyway. They didn't actually speak about it with ScarJo's team. Scarlett Johansson, okay? They didn't actually inform her about this, apparently. And they released it anyway. And the earnings that came in was basically for ticket sales. And apparently, Disney Plus said that... Well, Disney said that they've already, you know, given Scarlett Johansson $20 million based on, you know, the movie earnings. But we don't know what the breakdown is. Like, what's that $20 million comes from?
So, yes, it's still a huge amount of money, but we're talking about, in this particular instance, it's the first Marvel female movie.
Yeah, so the earnings could be a lot more.
People were really excited about this movie, by the way.
Yeah, and it's ScarJo.
Exactly.
We don't want to watch that.
And the biggest problem now is that this might change the way that we are paying for our streaming services.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of, to be very business-minded, a lot of extra costs on the part of people like Netflix and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do blockbuster releases the way Disney is doing, I think you, instead of just paying $15, we may end up paying $30-$40 for that one movie.
For that one movie, yeah. I mean, $15 in Malaysian ringgit is about 40 ringgit. 40, yeah. 45 ringgit, which is... Hey, actually, no. It's actually more than that now. It's actually about 60 ringgit, somewhere there.
Yeah.
It's not a, that's not a small amount of money. That's actually 60 ringgit for you in Malaysian theatre terms. You can get a premier seat, like a premium seat for 60 ringgit. Like going to, I think, GSC Premium or GSC Premier or something like that.
Even when we went to the for Greatest Showman way back when, for all our tickets, it was less than 60 ringgit.
Yeah, well, when GSC Premier started, it was only 20 ringgit.
Exactly.
And then it went up and up and up and up. Now I think it's about 40 ringgit per ticket, per person.
But that is the big question. Where is this going to end up? So,
yeah.
Like, Netflix does not have premier events where they are telling you, oh, you pay on top of your Netflix subscription. Well, their movies are basically just released onto the platform.
Yeah, I think the moment they see Disney Plus model, they're like, oh, maybe we can make more money.
And Scarlett Johansson became a speed hump in that.
Yeah, so I guess her move, her kind of lawsuit does wake you up a little bit, does wake us up a little bit at least to like, oh, it actually makes sense. Like, why would you want to pay more on top of what you're already paying? That's one.
Yeah. Okay.
And two is, how are the actors actually getting paid? Like, with all these streaming models?
Yeah, like, I think for Netflix, it's safe to say that they have worked out a way of paying the talent.
Yeah, which is great, right?
The amount of shows that are coming out as originals, and some of them really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Disney's model, it's still a ticketing model. You're paying extra to see that one movie.
Yeah, and I think that's also because they have been a very, very traditional company in this sense, right? They've never thought about, oh, how are they going to pay their you know, actors on streams, you know, when you have this kind of situation where you're going to release your movie on streaming platforms, right?
Yeah.
Because while ticket prices in US is about $15 for theater, so technically you're not paying much of a difference. But what about when it comes to other regions like UK, for example, or even Malaysia? Like, Malaysia's already charging you, like, what, 55 ringgit for your first 3 months of, you know, Disney Plus subscription?
Yeah. And the thing about this, the thing about Disney Plus for Malaysia at least, it's not a monthly subscription. It is so far a quarterly subscription, which costs about 55 to 60 ringgit.
Somewhere there, right?
Yeah. And if you're going to be paying for these movies on a monthly basis, you imagine if there's 4 movies in a month,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, okay, I'm going to go watch all of these movies. I'm going to stream it the day it comes out. That bill at the end of that 3 months might gonna be come very up more painful.
Because unless they come up with a model where it's a different price for every country, it's going to be a bit difficult, I think. At least for Malaysia, lah, okay? Because Malaysia charges you, what, 15 ringgit or to 20 ringgit to go to the theatres right now, right?
Yeah.
If you can actually find one that's open. Okay, that's about 15 to 20 ringgit per movie, per person, right? Are they going to charge that same amount for the movies that you want to get on, let's say, your Disney Plus, you know? Because we've seen this sort of model on Google TV itself, right? Google's video platform on the Android TVs, right? You can actually buy your movies on the platform for, I think, what? The ranges from 5 ringgit to 45 ringgit, somewhere there.
Yeah. Right?
And you get to watch them anytime you want, kind of thing. So it's going to be the same thing, but at the same time, really? You want to pay more on top of what you're already paying?
And this goes back to what we were saying earlier. When is too much? We're already having Disney Plus. We have Netflix. We have Spotify. We have Tidal. We have Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah.
When is it going to become too much that we're paying the same amount as cable and Malaysia only has one cable provider?
Yep.
So, big questions, I think.
Big questions. And I think it's... the answers can only be, you know... You can only answer this question, I think, on your own. Whether or not you're willing to pay for all these services. If you ask me... I think we are already paying too much.
Yeah, from what we started off paying and what we're paying now, it's, I think, close to 5 times what we started off paying.
Yeah, because it started out with, what, Netflix, right? No, it started out with Spotify, actually. Yeah, it started out with Spotify, and Spotify back then was really cheap. It was like, what, 12 10 ringgit, 15 ringgit?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's, what, 50 plus ringgit for a family subscription? If you're footing the bill on your own, okay?
Yep.
It's 50 plus ringgit per per family subscription. Tidal is also about 50 ringgit for a family subscription, up to 5 users as well, okay? Mm-hmm. And then Netflix is also 55 ringgit for Netflix Premium. This is the only way you get to watch 4K movies.
Yeah.
No other way, okay? You can't get a lesser Netflix account and watch 4K movies, no. It's only one type of, you know, subscription, Netflix Premium, but you can share it with 5 people. Okay, that's a good thing. The Prime Video is about 26 ringgit right now, which is quite reasonable, I think. But at the same time, you can only share it with, not to say 3 people, but you can only share it between 3 displays. Like, only 3 displays can use 1 account at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, Disney Plus...
Mm-hmm.
Disney which Plus. Is 55 ringgit per month.
For 3 months.
For 3 months and 5 ringgit per month if you're on Astro.
Mm-hmm.
Is only shareable with 2 screens at the same time.
Yeah. So, once you add everything, it's nearly 200 ringgit. It's about 200 ringgit.
To be very honest, that's about the same price I'm paying for Astro.
Yeah. So is it too much? I think it's too much. I think we're already starting to feel that this is too much. So if there's any more subscription service that comes in, we might not even consider.
Yeah, and to be very honest, just because Disney and Netflix have, and Amazon actually have a chunk of original content, that is why we are still with them.
Yeah. This not even considering Apple TV, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Apple TV is a complete other wormhole. But if you do buy an Apple product right now, I think the iPhone or the iPad or even the MacBook, I think you're getting a 1-year free subscription for Apple TV, Apple TV Plus. And there are some good shows on Apple TV, so use it up. Use up that 1 year. Just use it.
Yep. And not to mention, you might also be paying for Google Cloud or Dropbox or OneDrive. Yeah. So we're paying quite a lot for subscriptions nowadays.
Yeah, so does it still make sense? I mean, I miss theaters.
I do miss theaters. It's a different feeling, but at the same time, even if they reopen at this time, I'm not sure whether I will go.
I won't. I know I won't. I know from what the development of the pandemic is, right? It's not encouraging. And like we suggest everyone to basically just stay at home at this time.
For now.
For now. Malaysia has just hit an all-time high, okay? And yesterday, we've gotten about 17,000 new cases again.
Yeah, today's number is at 15,000.
It's not encouraging. It's really not. I mean, stay at home.
Yeah.
Stay at home. That's all I can say. I mean, there was a certain political movement that we're not going to comment about because we don't really want to talk about politics on this show. But yeah, if you can, really, just stay at home, protect yourselves, protect your family, you know, everyone around you. And if you're still, you know, on the fence about getting vaccination, just do it already. Just do it first. Like,
yeah, you won't feel a thing.
Yes, and the best vaccination that you can get, okay, is not really the Pfizer one or the Sinovac one or, you know, the AstraZeneca one. It's the one that you can get your hands on.
Yep.
Yeah, for now, just go and get it done. Like, just do it, right?
If you want to go out to theaters, just go get it done.
Yeah, well, I'm still not going to go theaters lah, even then. I mean, me and Jeevan has already gotten both our doses, and even we're still like, no, I don't really want to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on that note, you know, we have to end the show because it's running a bit long today. But anyway, yes, that is the end of the show. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for, you know, showing up for the show every week and listening through the whole way. Again, if you have anything that you want to feedback, you know, you can just reach out to us on our website, on our email, you know, that's www.techend.tv, you know, or you can reach out to us on social media, whatever social media channel that is, and our tag is basically TechEndTV. That's TechEndTV on all social media. That's including LinkedIn. We are on Spotify, on YouTube, and on Google Podcasts, and even Apple Podcasts. So if you're on any of these platforms, you want to give us feedback as well on these platforms, you can. Not so sure whether Spotify allows you to do that, but, you know, on other platforms, right? On YouTube, on Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, do give us a shout out. So thank you, everyone, for listening in. Do stay safe, and we will talk to you again next week. This is Darwin and Jeevan signing out. Bye.
See ya.